In the Psalms, Psalter, we find basically two different kinds of psalms. There are the psalms of disorientation, and there are the psalms of reorientation. So the psalms of disorientation are basically the psalms where the writer is just opening their guts about what's going wrong in their life, how bad things are, they're suffering at the hands of their enemies. Why is it that these evildoers are prospering? I'm getting, run over here. It's basically the life stinks psalms. Okay? Those are psalms that express a very deep and sometimes visceral level, the disorienting nature of life. There are psalms that sometimes we can most readily gravitate towards when things are wrong. We need to tell God about it. Because He can handle you yelling at Him. Right? I know it almost sounds funny to say that, but He can. God will handle your frustrations with Him. So be frustrated. Right? So these are the psalms of disorientation. The psalms that basically talk about life stinks. And I'm going to let you know about it. Okay? But there are also psalms of reorientation. The psalms that declare the mind that bring the speaker back into plumb, if you will, back from the disorienting ebb and flow of life, back to a reoriented perspective, a reoriented clarity of who God is. So these are the psalms that remind us of God as the promise-making, the promise-keeping Lord of Israel. And this is what the psalms say today, right? When we remember His commands, those who are great, think about these things. When we come into the sanctuary, we offer our praise and our joy because this is how we reorient us back to the right vision of God. Because the world will do its darkest to disorient us. And one of the things that we do in worship is to be reoriented. So today we were originally slated to kick off our stewardship season, but we decided that the Vestry, the Lord's and I decided to postpone that for a couple of weeks so that we can focus on talking with the congregation about where we are budget-wise this year. Hopefully, most of you, if you're every year or if you're expecting them to have a letter from the senior board, and we talk a little bit about our budget situation. If you didn't get that letter, please call my office or let me know. We'll be happy to take it to a copy. But it was an intentional effort on the part of church leadership to convey information about where we are financially. And so, one thing I could do this morning is to talk to you about disorientation, about the dollars and the sense of where we are, where we could be, or whatever. But I'm not. Pause for collective sigh. What I want to do this morning is actually more along the lines of reorientation. I want to share with you some thoughts that come from Scripture about that clarifying vision of God. And I want to do that by starting in our epistle reading, the New Testament lesson from Paul's 2 Timothy, 2 letter to Timothy. You may recall that this is the last extant letter we have from the apostle that was written at the very end of his life. He's literally in chains, he's under house arrest in Rome, and he's writing one of these pastoral epistles, these pastoral letters to his successor, his protege, Timothy, who's the bishop in Ephesus, is another bishop. And Paul is just those fundamental beliefs and realities that we so phrase is saying, it's got a little bit to it. It's seen that the most Bible is sort of set up on the margin to indicate that it's a bit of separate clothes from the rest of the letter. And it may be that it was a tool that they used in Sunday school, teaching it to kids, or maybe it was something that was well known in the church. And what does he say? He says, if we die with him, we shall be raised with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he is faithful, because he cannot deny himself. A beautiful little poem song, memory device, whatever you want to call it. It's a fundamental reorienting message that Paul is giving to Timothy, reminding him of this is nothing new. So Timothy's like, what? I didn't know that. Here, the reason you're here is because there's something here you every soul. It is, am I right with God? Now you might not be aware of that soul being questioned. It might not be something that sort of jumps in front of you when you wake up in the morning. Most people, admittedly, don't wake up first thing Monday morning and be like, how like an unrighteous sinner be right with the Holy God? Started again. You know what I mean? Like, that question might not be pressing upon us every day of time, but I guarantee you it is the most basic soul thought question that everyone has. We've covered over lots of other questions and problems, to be sure, and some of them should be problems, don't be wrong. But that is the basic of it. And so, like an old radio down in the basement is broadcasting a question. Can I hear it? Am I right? Go. And it doesn't necessarily signal, right? There's lots of other radios and things that you can have going on in your house. And so the noise of the basement can be drowned out, sure. Sometimes the house is on fire. So, why are we here? We're drawn here week after week to be refreshed by those exalted moments. Our liturgy does that. That's why we confess our sins every week. There's a word of absolution. I'm not forgiving you. God's forgiving you. But I become a human agent by which you can hear an actual voice to say, from useless clergy. benefits. There's another reason why we're here. This is that when Paul speaks this little few verses I shared with you at the beginning, it is saturated with language of being in Christ. If we die with him, we shall be raised with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. The New Testament's understanding of salvation and the life of God is solely grounded in being in Christ. But there's another dimension to that. You cannot have union with Christ without union to his body, to his people. You have one, you have to have the other. And you might have to say, well, there's no such thing as my church. There's iPads and iPods and iTunes, but no my church. That if you are in Christ, you are by necessity and by extension part of his body. And so one of the things that I believe very deeply that we are to be regularly oriented towards is that fellowship of saints, that strong and deep abiding sense of community that God deeply desires for us to have with one another. And so I spoke about this a little while ago back in the spring, for meaningful community, where the people that we know during the week and know us and we love and want to be with are some of the same people that we're visiting on Sunday. And so one of the things that really sort of threw this deep need for community into sort of real life for me, which was a couple weeks ago, I was visiting the hospital and not in his wife was there, and I was praying with them and talking to them. And they've been members of the church for 17 years. And in the course of our conversation, I said, is there anyone in the church that we're close to that you might be able to chat to that could be a helpful presence? Is there your own friends? And they sat there and looked at me and they said, no, not really. So